It's awesome that you're here. Nice work, guys, on that last song. You know, if you watch me when I'm playing, you will see before, at the end of every, like, news or whatever, I'll be frantically trying to get somebody's attention and going, like, one or two, is it one or two? Because I always forget which song we're supposed to play, and I don't even think Josh did. I think maybe Luke's putting his hand up to take the blame for that. But they do an awesome job, and it was really cool. That's right. Never mind. We got there in the end, and, you know, that's what matters. All right, I'm going to pray before I start. God, I just thank you so much for who you are and for everything that you've given us. And God, I thank you for this time that we have together. And God, that you've anointed it. And you've brought us here, God, and that not one of us is here by mistake. Not one of us accidentally came into your house tonight. But God, you want to speak to every single one of us. And God, I pray that we would have open hearts to hear from you. And God, that you would just speak straight to us through your word, God. That I would get out of the way, and that it wouldn't just be me saying some things that I've thought, God, but that you would speak in a really powerful and a really clear way. And that all of us would have ears to hear, God, and hearts to understand. Thank you, God. Amen. I really encourage you to make the most of this time and every time that you come to church, every time you're in the house of God, because God wants to speak and he wants to do stuff and he already is. And like, we just had amazing worship, and what Luke's word was great and Hugh's word was great. And it's just like, you know, we're not even halfway, well, halfway through, a bit over halfway through, and already so much has happened. So I'm believing God's going to keep speaking. Amen. Good. You with me tonight? You're awake. You are here. You're excited to hear from the Word of God. Amen. Good. Good. I want to talk about wisdom tonight. I've been reading about Solomon, and then I started reading Proverbs, and I was just thinking a lot about wisdom and what it means. And yeah, pretty much that's what I want to talk about. I was just really amazed at how God works in Solomon's life, and things that go well and things that don't go well, but how much how important wisdom is, and how crucial it is for us, not just to look at and think that's a good idea, but to really live our lives every single day. And I know that, like, I have made some wise decisions and some unwise decisions, and I'm sure all of us can put our hands up and say the same thing. And so, like, we need to understand, like, what it means to have wisdom, what it means to live it out, yeah? And so I want to talk about that. So kind of the start of this story, if you don't know, it starts in 1 Kings 3. So if you've got your Bible, you can open it up and you can look at it. Basically, what's happened to Solomon is David's son. And David is old and he's dying, and he gives Solomon the kingdom. And Solomon is just young, but he says, but he becomes king. And so he's been doing good stuff, and he's been serving God faithfully, and he's been worshiping God. And it says that Gibeon, this is verse 5, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream and said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." And Solomon says, "You've shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. And you've continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on this throne this very day. Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. But I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among people that you have chosen, a great people too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. And so God said to him, "Since you've asked for this, and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have you asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you've asked. I'll give you a wise and discerning heart, so there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in obedience to me and keep my decrees and commands, as David your father did, I will give you a long life." Now, God comes to Solomon and he says, "Ask me for whatever you want." Is anybody, like, would be excited if God came to you and just said, "All right, I'm here, and, you know, you've got three wishes." That's not quite, but he's like, "Ask me for whatever you want." And Solomon asks for wisdom. And I've often thought that maybe Solomon didn't need to ask for wisdom because he already had enough wisdom to ask for it. That's pretty wise in the first place, but anyway, he did. And I think there's some stuff that I was really getting out of that. Like, we could look at Solomon and go, well, yeah, he needed wisdom because he was the king. But all of us have this call on our lives to be something bigger than we think it is at the moment. And all of us have, like, God has called every one of us to something that is bigger than we can handle in our own strength and in our own effort, yeah? And so we need wisdom just as much as Solomon did. And Solomon understood it, and I think we need to understand that as well. Because, like, wisdom, really wisdom just means knowing between right and wrong and then having the judgment to act on it. And so that, does that sound good? Yeah? Everyone think we need that? You know, it means just knowing what's right and then being able to live those decisions out in your life. And that sounds good to me. That sounds like a good way to live, you know. And God, He wants us to live with wisdom and purpose. God is not trying to trip you up or make you stuff up. God wants you to succeed. He wants your path to be straight. And He comes to Solomon and He says, look, you've got this kingdom here and I'll give you anything you want, because He wants him to do well as king. He has made him king just as He has placed you in your life in the position that you are in. And all of us can have this because it's a gift from God. And God, it says in Proverbs 3, so Proverbs was written by Solomon. So if you want to hear the fruit of the wisdom of Solomon, then read Proverbs. But Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. You know, God actively wants to guide and direct us. He wants to give us wisdom to fulfill His call, yeah? So I guess tonight I just want to talk about, like, what it is about wisdom that would make Solomon ask for it above everything else. And, you know, what do we need to do to understand how to live in wisdom? Does that sound okay? Good. So the first thing I think that we need to understand is that wisdom is not intelligence. I think we get this wrong a lot. Yeah, and we assume that if someone's really smart, then they must be really wise. Or if someone's not so smart, then they're unwise. And to be honest, I think that both of these things can stuff us up. You know, you think that you're an intelligent person, you make bad decisions out of your own perceived intelligence instead of trusting in wisdom from God. And maybe you don't feel like you're intelligent because maybe you didn't do as well at school or something, and so then you never have the confidence to make any decision because you don't feel like you can be wise. But we need to understand that wisdom is not about being smart, but that wisdom is a gift from God, that it is discernment from the Holy Spirit, amen? And it's not just about, like, oh yeah, well, my grades were good enough so I can be wise. It's about understanding that they'll never be good enough, and God has the answers, but God wants to give me the answers. Amen. Now, Solomon, I think one of the best things that he does in that passage is he comes to God with humility and he says, I'm your servant and I'm only a child. So give me wisdom to rule your people. That's so powerful, I think. And if we could come to God from a position of humility and just say, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what I'm doing. Please help me. That's like the best thing you can ask God, honestly. God doesn't want you to come and just say, like, oh, it's all right, I've got this under control because I'm pretty smart. And then God can't do anything and you shut Him out of your life. Every time we make a decision on our own bat and make a decision from our own intelligence, then we close an opportunity for God to work in us and work through us, yeah? Now, wisdom is not about having all the answers, but it's about listening to God. And that's what Solomon did. That's what every person that is considered actually wise, just listened to God, yeah? Matthew 16, there's this great passage. And it starts in verse 13. Jesus turns to his disciples and he says, who do you say that I am? Well, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they say, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. I'm really struck by this because, you know, Peter is a normal guy. He's not like a genius or anything like that. But God speaks to him and he listens to God and then he understands who Jesus is. And that's a powerful thing. And then when you read on, Jesus says, "And then I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Jesus gives Peter this incredible promise that comes out of Peter getting wisdom from God about who Jesus is. So wisdom is not about being smart. Wisdom is about listening to God. We had at youth on Friday night, we did like a question and answer panel where, you know, all the guys wrote down questions that they had about, you know, the Bible or God or whatever, and then asked us, and we had to try and answer the questions. And I realized later that, like, pretty much all of the answers that I gave, like, came out of a Bible verse of some sort. And I was happy about that. Because, you know, God gives us wisdom and he puts it in his word right there. And so it's not just like a good idea that you have, but it's the living word of God that you filled yourself with and then it comes out. And so, like, the Bible has answers for everything if you seek it, if you look. If you want wisdom, then read the word of God, yeah? Don't try and come up with your own idea, yeah, but be filled with the word. In Luke 6:45, it says, "The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of the heart, his mouth speaks." Don't fill your heart with all your own ideas. I have been through school, I've been through uni, and met plenty of people whose hearts are filled with their own ideas, and it only leads to trouble. Like, be creative, have ideas, think about things. That's not what I'm saying. But don't get so full of your own ideas that there is no room for God's ideas in your heart. Because his ideas are so much better. Yeah? Fill your heart with the word of God. You know, that's how you get wisdom. Now, wisdom isn't about being a smart person. Wisdom is about listening to God and then doing what he says. And it's like the Holy Spirit speaking to you and saying, "That's not a good idea." Like, if you listen to that and you act on it, then you're acting in wisdom. If you ignore it and then you do whatever you want, then you're foolish. It's pretty simple. Yeah, so you don't have to be smart to be wise. Remember that. The other thing that I think we need to get is how valuable wisdom is. You know, Solomon understood that wisdom was valuable. He knew its worth. And he knew that there were all these things that he could ask God for. And God lists them. He says, like, you didn't ask for wealth or for power or for the death of your enemies or any of this stuff. He says, because Solomon looks at the job that he has in front of him and says, more than anything else, I need wisdom. All that other stuff will happen, or I can get all that other stuff, that's fine. But I need wisdom to lead God's people. And if you want to lead your own life, then you need wisdom from God, amen? You don't need money, you don't need power, you need wisdom from God. It is the most important thing that you can have, amen? Because otherwise, like, what are you doing? Otherwise, you're just kind of wandering around aimlessly doing random stuff. That would be my definition of not having wisdom. You know, like, we just keep making decisions every day of our lives. And some of the decisions that we make, maybe they don't mean much the next day. But some of the decisions that we make affect our entire lifetimes. And so what is more important than having wisdom for those choices? What is more important than having the word of God for those decisions that you make? What is more important than having God speak to you about the things that you do and then acting on it, yeah? Because that's what wisdom is. It's not just a good idea. It's the word of God in your heart, amen? Now, you hear all the time about people who win a lotto jackpot and then go broke like 2 years later. Because we don't need more money. We need wisdom. Luke said it. We are equipped already with everything that we need to do everything that God has called us to do. What we need is the wisdom to use what we've got to achieve what God has told us to do, yeah? In Proverbs 8, Solomon says, "Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her." You know, when we get that wisdom is more important, then God sorts out the other stuff. And that's what he says to Solomon. It's the same promise to us. He says to Solomon, because you didn't ask for that stuff, I'll give you it. And Jesus says, seek first my kingdom and all those other things will be added to you. Don't worry about it. Seek wisdom, yeah. Now, I was thinking about Joseph. I don't know if you have heard the story. It's in Genesis, but Joseph is the youngest, second youngest of all these brothers. And you know, he's his father's favorite. And all the other brothers hate him. And they sell him into slavery in Egypt. Most people have heard this story. Anyway, he's going through and like he's working and God is with him. But then he gets wrongfully accused and put in jail. Like, just all this stuff happens to him. But then the Pharaoh in Egypt is having these dreams and he can't understand them. And it says none of the wise men in Egypt can understand them. And so then this guy that Joseph interpreted a dream for in prison is now working for Pharaoh. He remembers Joseph. And so Joseph comes to the Pharaoh and the Pharaoh tells him these dreams, and then Joseph, through the power of God, interprets them and says, look, there's going to be a drought in 7 years, for 7 years, and we need to do something about it now. And I just, that was a real paraphrase. If you haven't heard that story before, it's in Genesis like 37, 8, 40, you know, that area. So look it up, read it yourself. But he says in Genesis 41, 33 is where I want to catch it up. Joseph says to Pharaoh, now Pharaoh, look for a discerning and wise man and put him in charge of the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh appoint commissioners over the land to take a fifth of the harvest of Egypt during 7 years of abundance. Then they should collect all the food of these good years that are coming and store up the grain under the authority of Pharaoh to be kept in the cities for food. Blah, blah, blah. Basically doing all that. And then it says in verse 37, the plan seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his officials. So Pharaoh asked them, can we find anyone like this man, one in whom is the Spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you. Joseph goes through his life, and when he comes to Pharaoh, he doesn't have wealth or status or power or anything. But he has wisdom from God, the gift of God on his life to understand and to help. And that's the call of God on his life. And because of that wisdom, he is able to save the world, essentially, and save his people. And he gets put in this incredible position where he can have incredible influence. And I think that's what God wants for us, like not to be set aside from culture, not to just sit at your work or at your school and just sit there. But, you know, you've got this gift of God in you, this wisdom from the Lord in you that means you should have some answers for some stuff. And so don't be afraid to speak them out. But always make sure that you give glory to God for it, which is exactly what Joseph always does. Because, you know, don't seek wealth or power, but seek God and his wisdom. He'll direct your life, yeah? So what did we have so far? We had wisdom is not intelligence, and wisdom is valuable. And the last one I want to talk about is something that I really learned from something that Solomon was unwise about. If you know it, then you know where I'm going. But basically, the thing that I think we need to realize is that wise people surround themselves with wisdom. And this is something that Solomon gets wrong. It's in 1 Kings, you can read it in 1 Kings 11. It says, King Solomon, however, loved many foreign women besides Pharaoh's daughter, Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites. They were from nations about which the Lord had told the Israelites, you must not intermarry with them because they will surely turn your hearts after other gods. Nevertheless, Solomon held fast to them in love. He had 700 wives. Oh my goodness. Of royal birth and 300 concubines, and his wives led him astray. As Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of his father David had been. Now, in this one area of his life, Solomon rejects the wisdom that God has given him and does what he thinks is a good idea, and it brings about his downfall. And I'm not just talking about wives. I'm talking about the people that you let speak into your life, the people that you let be close to you, those people that you surround yourself with, who are they? What are they speaking? Are they people that will turn your heart astray, or are they people that will build you up and help you live a life for God? You know, wise people put wise people around them. Be careful with who you surround yourself with. Are you listening to wise, godly counsel? Or are the people around you, the people that you hang out with, are they taking you down a path that you don't want to go down? Are they putting you down a way that you know is not right, yeah? You know, Solomon was given everything and lost it because the people he put close to himself turned his heart away from God. Don't let that be you, yeah? Don't neglect church. Don't neglect your life group. Don't take those things for granted, but realize that God has put those people in your life to guide you and to help you and to speak to you. And you have been put in their life to help them. So, you know, let's not let each other down. Don't just sit there. Don't just go, oh, yeah, and then go about your life. Let wise counsel govern your life and guide your life because God has put it there. You know, don't ignore the advice of the people that God has put in your life. Don't ignore your parents. Don't ignore your life group leaders. Don't ignore people who have heard from God and are trying to help you. That's just obvious, but, you know, I think that's one of the craziest things that we can do is we can get this incredible gift from God, the Holy Spirit, and have wisdom from His Word, yet surround ourselves with people that would just lead us away from that. So just don't do it. Yeah, it's really easy. God wants us to do well. He wants us to succeed. He wants us to live in wisdom, and He will use the people around you to help you achieve that. Yeah, we need to understand how valuable wisdom is. We need to understand that it's not just something that comes from our head, but it's the Word of God, it's the heart of God, it's the Holy Spirit in us. Amen. And when we can get that, then God can fulfill His call in our lives. I'm gonna pray. God, I just thank you so much for the incredible gifts that you give us. And God, that you want to pour out wisdom on our hearts and on our lives, God. That you want us to do well. That you want us to make good decisions. God, you want us to live lives that honor you and glorify your name. And you want to help us do that. And so, God, I just pray that we would have the wisdom to ask for wisdom, God. The humility to know that we can't do it by ourselves, but that we need your strength and your power and your knowledge, God. And that you would just, like, we would have a heart to be open to you and to what you say. God, I just pray that this week, as we go out from this place, that we'd really be listening to you. God, that we'd really listen in the small decisions, in the big decisions, that we would listen for your voice. We would listen for your word, God, whether it's through the Bible, whether it's through your Spirit speaking to us, whether it's through the people you've put around us in our lives, God, that we would listen to you and we would let you guide our path, God, that we wouldn't lean on our own ideas or our own understanding, but that we would trust in you with everything. And God, we thank you for your promise that if we do that, then you will work everything else out if we would just seek you first. Thank you, God. Before we finish, you know, the Bible says that when Jesus was speaking, everybody was astounded by the wisdom that he had because Jesus is God. And so even better than Solomon, who got it given to him from God, Jesus had the wisdom of his Father straight away. And it just shows me, obviously, who Jesus is and that he was more than just a guy with some good ideas, but that he's the Son of God. And that he died for us so that we could have a relationship with God, so that we could have a connection with God, that we would never be the same again. And so I want to give you an opportunity tonight to acknowledge to God that, you know, you can't do it by yourself and that you've made mistakes, but to accept what Jesus did for you and to acknowledge Him as Lord of your life. And so, I don't know, maybe you've done that before. Maybe you've prayed that and thought that before, but you feel like you're far from God, or maybe you never have before. Then I want to give you an opportunity to pray a simple prayer with all of us together. So this prayer is going to come up on the screen and we're all just going to pray it together out loud. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life. I'll follow you. Amen. If you prayed that, then and from your heart, then talk to the person that brought you or talk to your life group leader about what that means so they can help you live that out every day. Thanks, guys.